Today's daf is Sukkah, daf Tez Zayin, and we are on Tez Vav Mebez as we continue with these last five blot in the first parak of Maseches Sukkah. If you remember, just keeping the structure intact, the first parak of Maseches Sukkah is all about the structure of the Sukkah. The second parak is all about the mitzvah of Yeshiva Basukkah, right, the Gavra. The third parak and the fourth parak get into the mitzvos of Dal and Minim, and the last parak, the fifth parak, gets into the other mitzvos, Simchas Beis HaShaweva, Hallel, and other general mitzvos, Perek HaChalil. That's the last one, but Baruch Hashem, we are right now in the first Perek. Daf Tez Zayin is today. We are on Tez Vav Mebeis. Just the last point that I said that I would start off with today, and that is, yesterday we had the Shita of Rabbi Abba Bar Tivyomi, who said that if somebody uses worn-out clothing, that is possible for Sukkah, even though right now it's not a beged anymore, as we're going to see on today's daf, as I shab in a few minutes. It is talking about a case of a material that is less than 3x3 etzbaos. It's a tiny little piece of material, but because it used to be a beged, because it used to be makabel tumah, that is good enough to say that it stays. It stays a problem, even though right now it shouldn't be a problem anymore. If you have this type of material in the first place to use, it was never a beged, that's not makabel tumah, and it grows from the ground, and therefore you'd be able to use it for schach, but because it used to be, that's a problem. And the Gemara wanted to relate that to our Mishnah, where our Mishnah said, if you use boards of a bed, that used to be part of the structure of a bed, so that also is possible. So the Gemara says, isn't that a raya? So the Gemara ended up by saying, no, maybe it's not a raya, because maybe our Mishnah is about a case where the bed is still semi-intact, where you have one long side and two short sides connected, and that's why it's still, but in a chinami, if it was not a bed anymore, maybe it wouldn't be a raya. Even though the Gemara said that, the Gemara rejected the proof that our Mishnah is not a proof, we do hold like that. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Taf Reish Chaf Tes, Sif Beis, we do hold like Rav Abba Bar Tivyomi in terms of this halacha. So that's the siman about schach, tafrei schach tes, mimat zorach lios haschach, right, and we discussed the beginning of that siman in the past, and the Shulchan Aruch says, v'chein davar shemekabel tuma, kagon shpudin, va'aruchos hamita, v'chol hakelim, anything that's makabel tuma, like metal poles, or supports of a bed, or any kli, ein mesachin v'hen, you can't use them, v'yafilu im nishperu, even if they were broken, shalonishu emshir kabalas tuma. Even though it's not longer makabel tumah, still it is, you're not allowed to use them. Why? The simple understanding is, as the Mishnah Berurah here quotes, gzeirah, gzeirazu b'esh l'asachi b'am la'olam. Right? Once you use it for a kli, you can no longer use it for a kli. So, two ways to understand that. Is that stam gzeirah? If you're able to use them after they break, you might come to use them before they break. Or a little more conceptual, and that is, once they get the status of a kli, so then, even though regarding hilchas tumah, it doesn't have a kli, status of a kli anymore, but regarding hilchas schach, midrabanan, we gave it the status of a kli, and it can no longer be used. That's a little different, slight difference in formulation, what you would say. If you look at the Rambam's lashon in Hilchas Sukkah is that it seems like a pure gzeira. Rabbi Yosef Engel here in the Gilyoni Ashas has two ideas. First, he quotes the Lavush. The Lavush, here, Tavar Shchavtes, Lavush Malchus, it was written by Rav Mordechai Yaffe. Rav Mordechai Yaffe lived right after the Ramah, and his commentary on Shulchan Aruch is all based on a pasuk in the Megillah, right, in Yonah the Yoma, which Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag. So, be mekayim the mitzvah today to speak about Purim for a minute. Right, Mordechai Yaffe, Mordechai Yotze Milefnei Melech. He goes out, Bilavush Malchus, Vaterazov, Butzvar Gaman, the whole pasuk. So he has commentary in all four Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch, and each one is named for a different phrase in that pasuk. On Arachayim, it's Levush Malchus. On another Chalik, it's Butzvar Gaman. On Yoredeya, I think it's Vaterazov. I think on Butzvar Gaman, I think it's Choshe Mishpat. Right, a different phrase. His Sefer on Rashi is Sefer Ha'ora. Called the bottom of the Otsa Mefarshi Rashi, you have the Mizrahi and you have the Gur Aryeh, and on the bottom you have the Sefer HaOri, right? The Lavush Layehud Maisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasan Vikar. It's all based on that pasuk. So the Lavush, which is quoted by all the Nosei Kalim on every Shulchan Aruch, they always quote the Lavush and the Shach quotes the Atera Zahav on every other page in Yaredeya. So here in Tavrei Shchavtes, he says, why can't you use them? The Kol Hakalim Yisachemen Afilu Nishbru Sheachshav Lo Nishra Mebshir Kabbalas Tuma Hoil VeItchu Itchu VeEinam Chozrim LaHechsheiram. Once they were pushed aside to be used for Schach because they were Makabel Tuma, so therefore, they are pushed aside. Says the Gilyoni Ashas, wow, That's a type of principle we don't have generally, except by kachim. By kachim, we have the principle of dichui, or we have it. We'll have it later on in our mesecta, daf lamed gimel, when it comes to dalin minim. Dalin minim, when yontif starts, if it has too many berries, more than leaves, so we'll talk about, we're related to hadasim. But generally, that is related to a kachim context. Remember, we had the ritva a couple of days ago, daf tes, that said, dalin minim are kind of like kachim. It's also a mitzvah, shebab laratzos. Says the Gilyoni Hashas, put this on the list of connections between the sukkah and kachim. Just like we had daf tes, chal shem shemayim ala sukkah, chal shem shemayim ala chagiga, just like we had daf hey, where the minimum height of the sukkah is learned out from the height of the aron. It's unbelievable. Right, why is that? Right, we're going to have later on, what's the source that the mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah by day and night, not just by day, lulav is only by day. How do you know sukkah is also by night? You know from the Shiva Simei Miluim. Just like Aaron, HaKohen, and his sons were there by day and night, so too. Unbelievable. So many parallels between kachim and sukkah. So this goes on the list. He says, Lanias Daiti, Hatam Bahachta Bavloi Kalim, Tekiva Debainan Bischach Gidol. I'm sorry, that's the second point. And he says, Ulai Sukkah Chashuva Kikachim, Ho the Iskish Lachagiga, Vachal Shem Shemayim, Olel Ka'ala Chagiga. And then he quotes an amazing Sifra, the Sifra in Pashas Emar, which requires a Pasik to say that there is no Mi'ila by a Sukkah. Mi'ila? Getting benefit from the Beis HaMikdash, you need a pasuk to tell me that you're getting the benefit from a sukkah. It's like the Beis HaMikdash in my backyard. Right? That's the sukkah. You need a pasuk that excludes that. After in dichui etzel mitzvos, become okom besukkah, amrinon dichui kimo bekachim. That is the Rabbi Yosef Engel. Then in the second half, he talks about a little more lumdus. Why is it that Bavloi Kalim, or once it's broken, it's no good. So he says the requirement of schach to be mechubar, to be detached from the ground, but comes from the ground, there has to be a direct connection from the ground to the schach. Meaning it was attached to the ground, now it's detached from the ground, and here it is. Now you use it for schach. But if there was a separate stage in the middle that broke its direct hisyachasus to the ground, to the karka, that even if now per se it's in a good state, so it's not going to be good enough, because you need that direct connection. So that's a little more conceptual, not just gzeira mishum. I'll read it. Yishlomer atam, b'hachta babloi kalim, kiva deba'inon b'schach gidul karka, hare ditzarech hisyachasus legidula min hakarka. V'yalkein, kiva deme'ikara hayu psulun l'sikoch, since there was a moment in time that it was pasul, af da'ata, shenish tabru re'uyin, even though at this moment in time now it broke, so it's no longer roi, v'kamakom atok far pasak hisyachasusam, lekarka umifsali bishum de'em lohem chashivus gidule karka od. Wow. So it grew from the ground and it's detached from the ground, but because there was a moment in time that it was not, we didn't see its connection to the ground anymore because it achieved the status of a kli, that's enough to ruin its, it's not called gidule karka for hilchaschach. That's what he says. Obviously this is only on a drabbanan level. It's not saying that, but on a drabbanan level, that's how it's formulated. He says, and look at the Rambam. But he talks about anitze pishtan, depsulo hoel vinishtanis tsurasan, velo chashivi su gidule karka. So again, gidule karka and is defined differently in every halachic context. Even within Hilcha Shabbos, gidule karka might be defined differently for different malachas. For example, dosh. So what's gidule karka for dosh? Fish are not gidule karka. For some other halachos, people are called gidule karka. Like, if so, the Rambam holds that if I wound somebody, that's the malacha of dash, even though dash is only by gedulei karka. If I punch somebody and I make them bleed, so that's chayiv daraisa, because that's chaval is dash according to the Rambam. So even within Hilcha Shabbos, there might be chilukim. For sure, for other areas of halacha, gedulei karka can be defined differently. So here, it says the Rabbi Yosef Engel, again, on a drabbanan level, that it could be defined differently. Okay, so we are now, last line on Tezvav Amid Beis. We just quoted that, even though we paskin that way, our Mishnah doesn't have to be a Raya Mechrachas for Rav Abba Bar Tivyome, because maybe our Mishnah is about a case where it's still structured as a bed. Just like he said that somewhere else. So, Hecha Itrad Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe, where did Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe suggest this regarding another Mishnah? Aha, on the following Mishnah. Ditznan, as the Mishnah says in the 18th Perek in Kalim. Again, as we go through Shas, we're not going to get all Mishnayos in Kalim, but every so often we get some Mishnayos, as we saw yesterday. 2 days ago, Mishnayos from Seder Taurus that Rashi's Rebbe said, you gotta always focus on, because there's no Bavli or Yerushalmi for the Mesechtas in Taurus other than Meseches Nida. So, says the Mishnah in Taurus, Mita, Mitames Chavila, Umitares Chavila. As we know, Beheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, we're not gonna only be worried about people becoming Tameh, but Kalim. And if my bed becomes Tameh, guess what? I have to put it into a mikvah. If it's Bekabal Toma. So a Mita, the Tanakhama says, becomes Tamei when it is all together as a bed, and you have to put it into the mikvah all together as a bed. You can't separate it into pieces and then put it in. You've got to find a big mikvah. Right? If you think, oh, it doesn't fit into the mikvah that I have, okay, so you got to find a bigger one. You can't, if it was Bekabal Toma when it was together, so then Tfilah is only Ola to it if it is together as well. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim no, mitamas evarim umataras evarim. It can become Tameh even when it is in pieces, and it can become Tar even when it is in pieces. Even, the Mefarshim explained, even if it became Tameh when it was not in pieces, when it was whole, you'll be able to be Matarit even when it is in pieces. My Nihu. So, what does it mean, in pieces? Even according to the Chachamim, you can be Matarit in pieces. So, my Nihu, what does that mean? So, that's on that Mishnah, Rav Chanan, Rebbe Arucha Ushtei Kra'ayim, Ketzaru Ushtei Kra'ayim. What does it mean, pieces? It means it's still somewhat together. Doesn't mean totally, totally taken apart. It means you have one long part and two short legs, or the vice versa. Lamai Chazia. So what? Even the Rabbanan are saying it has to be roy for something. It can't just be tiny little pieces. So what's it roy for if it's lopsided, right? You don't have four sides. So no, it is roy. Lamai Chazia. Lamis Machinu Aguda, to lean it up against a wall. Lameisav Alayu, and to sit on it. Umashdi Ashle, if you put it up against the wall and kind of like stick in the edges into holes in the wall and you line it with rope and you can sit on it, so it's roy. It's roy for something, even though it's not that sturdy, but it's still good enough for Hilchas Tuma Vatara. That's where he said it on that Mishnah. So like Gemara said, maybe he will say it on our Mishnah as well. If you look in the Tiferes Yisrael there in Kalim, in Perek Yudches, the Tiferes Yisrael on that Mishnah explains what the reason is. Why is it that if it became Tameh when it was whole, Chavila, a package, so how is it that it can become Tahar even if it is no longer a package? Says the, right, we know the Tiferes Yisrael split up into two commentaries, the Yachin and the Boaz, right? Those are the two pillars that were outside the Beis HaMikdash, as described in Malachim Aleph. So the Yachin and the Boaz. So, in the Yachin, it's short, and the Boaz, he expands. So he says, the Benitma, Kishaisa Shlema, Mahani La Tfila, Afilu Tova Mimena, Kol Eiver Ve'Eiver Levad. Says, why? The time of the Milsa, why? De Bishlama Betuma, Tzarech Shiyehe Shum Tzorech, Bedavar HaNitma, Bishash Nitma. When it became Tameh, it has to be something significant, a significant item when it became Tameh in order to be Mekabel Tuma. Avo betfila, hari kol ikar hatfila, rak kedei sheyishtamish ba betara achar kach, kisheyishabru. The Tara is result-oriented. I want to be able to use this in the future. By Tuma, right now, is this significant of an item to be Mekabel Tuma? So then it's Mekabel Tuma. So if it's not exactly how it's supposed to be, so it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma. But by Tara, I don't have to look at it at right now. I look at it as, I want to use this. I want to use this in the future. So therefore, I can already foresee it's being put together. Yes, the Gemara says it has to have a certain basic usage, right? Lomechziba. To stick it in the wall. But it doesn't have to be as perfect an item as when it was Mekabel Tuma, because it is future focused. Vareaz, you call a verb tivulim, lamaisa, everything will be nitval, and therefore you can separate it. Yes, we do hold that tevila has to be bevasachas. Right? We don't hold if you have a whole item. If you split it into different pieces, fine. But that is the difference between tevila and hagala. As we know, if somebody has to kasher a pot, or kasher any type of kli, you don't have to kasher it all at once, right? Let's say we kasher our sinks before Pesach, right? We go around with the hot water, and you pour it on different parts of the sink. If you run out, you do it again, you do it on the other part of the sink. Hagala, kashering, or a blowtorch, if you ever have to blowtorch something. It doesn't have to be at the same moment. It could be, well, a little bit, right? Right? Go start with the beginning and go. Tevila is different. Tevila is b'basachas. If you have a big kli, you can't stick one half of the kli into the mikvah and then the other half of the kli into the mikvah. Tevila is b'basachas. But, it says it's first Israel here, if you split it up into pieces, so then it's okay. If you have a pot and a pot cover, they don't have to be in the mikvah at the same time. Right? It's different parts to it. If you have a handle of a kli that detaches, we have a cake server that has a handle that detaches, and they're both usable, they're both kelim, so you can do it separately, right? You don't have to do it together. So that's what the Gemara is talking about here. Okay, weiter. Says the Gemara, Gufa. Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Tivyomi. Again, the statement, Sacha Bivavloi Kalim Psula, my Babloi Kalim. What does that mean? Amar Abaye, as we referred to already, Matzlanios She'ein Bohem Shalosh Al Shalosh. You have a baged, a material that is very, very small, less than 3 by 3 finger widths. To lochazi lo lanir velo lashir. That's something that is not makabel tuma. If it is not roy for an ani, or for an ashir, that it does not have a status of a baged. So in the one of the Achronim, they say this line doesn't work for the Reb Chaim's riddle. What riddle? The Chidas Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim once asked a riddle. How is it possible that you can have a sukkah kshera that doesn't change at all, the entire sukkahs, but in the middle of sukkahs it becomes pasul? How do you have that? So you're like, I don't know, does it, right, sukkah we're going to have later on. What about sukkah gzula? What about this? That should be pasul even the first day. How do you have a case where the sukkah becomes nifsal in the middle? So, he says, Reb Chaim answered, which is against our Gemara, but this is the Misora that he said, Reb Chaim, Sheshayach Kagon, if you have an ashir, you have a rich person who was mesachich with tiny little begadim that are not roi for his usage. They're roi for aniyim, but they're not roi for ashirim. So he used them. So therefore it's good schach. But then he lost all his money in the middle of sukkahs. So he becomes an ani, and now these begadim are roi for him to use. So that's a case where the sukkah becomes possible in the middle of sukkahs without anything happening to the sukkah. It has to do something with the person. So, but as the Biur Adaf here points out, that riddle doesn't work out according to our Gemara, because it sounds like to be Eino Makabel Tuma, it has to be Eino Roy for anybody. And even if it's Eino Roy, even if somebody's an Ashir, right, it's still Makabel Tuma if it is Roy for an Ani. It has to be Eino Roy, Lolani, Velola Ashir. Unless you put a comma in between, right? Roy La'ani in this case, or Roy La'ashir in that case. But the pashas is that it is not Roy for anything. Tosfos also notes, Tosfos in Delo, this is even if a person is so poor and he was machshivit. He said, even though this is a tiny little piece of cloth, I need it and I'm going to use it. Does that give it a status of Kabbalah's Tuma? Says Tosfos towards the bottom, no. The afilu chishiv alei and batla daito. Even if somebody thinks about it, that it should be, doesn't matter, even though we know that machshava usually works in Hilchos, in Tumah Vatara, as we spoke about a couple of days ago, still, it does not work here. If you look in the Gilyon HaShas here, he quotes the Tosfos in Maseches Nida, which seems to say sometimes it does work, but let us continue. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi, Rabbi Abi Bar Tivyome, a Braisa also supports him. Machzela shel shifa v'shel gemi, a reed mat of these materials, shiareha afalpi, even though it begins less than its shear, it's very small, you can't use it. Right? So you see from there, even if something is no longer mekabel tuma, it cannot be used for schach. Machzelas hakanim, if you have a very large reed mat, gedola mesachin ba. Ketana in mesachin ba. If it's very large, you can use it. If it's small, you cannot use it. Why? If it's very large, it was probably made for schach, and therefore you could use it, but if it's small, it was probably made to be a mat for you to walk on. And therefore, it's makabel tuma, and you can't use it for schach. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afi makabelos tuma, ve mesachin barba. Says, no, even if it is big, it is makabel tuma, and you can't use it, because, as Rashi says, stama l'shchiva, mistama, when people make these mats, that even if it's large, they make it to lie on, and one can't use it. Again, the mats that we get today for the schach mats, that's why you have all these hachsherim on it, to verify and to testify that they were made to use for schach. They were not made to use for a curtain or a shade or something to walk on. It was made for to use for schach, and also usually the part parts of string that hold it together are not makabel tumah either. Right, a couple of things that they testify about, but this is one of the main issues that it wasn't made to be a mat to walk on, so it is not makabel tumah. So that was our little foray into Hilchos Tumah Vetara. Remember the Rugged Shaver has a couple of whenever Tumah Vetara comes up. You can mention these sfeikas of the Rugged Shaver. Rugged Shaver in the Tzavos Paneach asks, how do we look at tumah? Imach tumah chal ala chefetz, the chefetz tahor who chefetz she'ein alav tumah. What is the natural state? Is tumah the natural state? And when something is tahor, tahor is defined as not being tameh, or is tahor the natural state? And tumah is defined as not being tahor. Right? So it's a nafka. What lamai nafka mina? So it's just words. No, cheskas tahor or cheskas tumah. Could be important for what do we assume about something, right? If there's a chazaka that you have to deal with, you assume something is tar, you might ask, what is the natural state? Or yes, the same kind of idea by Tumas Mace, or death itself. Is death the lack of life, or is life the lack of death? Which is the natural state? Rachmano Etzlan, somebody sees a bit to a levaya, seems like the natural state is death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechaye every single person and being throughout life. That's, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention, the natural state is death. That's what we believe. That's what we believe. But at least conceptually, you could say, which is the given and which is where the Malach HaMavis comes in and removes life, which is the natural state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates. So again, along this terms of Nafka Mina could be, if there is a state, let's say you have a state like in between. You have an animal that's mifarkesas, the animal that's shaking around, like the case of an animal after its head gets chopped off, the Gemara talks about, but it's still moving. So that's not life. So is that tumah yet? Is that misa yet? Is that chayim yet? So you have these cases that are in between life and death, but the Rugged Shaver discusses, and Kedarka Makodesh quotes many different makoros related to these questions. Okay, let's continue. Hachotit Begadish. Back to the case of the Mishnah, if somebody has a haystack and he tunnels into his haystack and he makes a nice little tent inside there, that is possible because that is a problem of Tasa Velomina Asi. Amar Rav Huna, Lo Shanu Ela She'ein Shem Chalal Tefach Meshach Shiva. This is only a problem if you didn't first have a space in the bottom of your haystack, one tefach high, seven tefach wide. Let's say I first had a little pile of straw. Of hay. And it was perfect. It was a tiny little sukkah for little ants. Right? It was only a tefach high. And then I just piled on more. But that space was there always. So then, if I didn't have that to start, that's when it's a problem. Aval yesham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva, harei ze sukkah. But if I started with that space, a tefach high, and seven tefachim wide, and then I may put the rest of the haystack on, then it is kosher. That is not a problem of tassel mon asui. Why not? So, two different formulations. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, amazing formulation, Rashi says in that case, your schach is perfect. It's just that your walls are problematic. You have tasa. It's not mina asui. You have perfect schach, meaning it's an ohel. Remember we had beforehand the three different days on Daf Yud about sukkah, gabi sukkah. What type of sukkah do you need on top to pasul your beneath sukkah? So we said maybe a tefach, maybe four tefachim, maybe ten tefachim. We had the three different days. So we paskin like ten tefachim. But here, so we know it's considered an ohel in other areas of halacha. So Rashi explains, you have an ohel. There's schach on top of an ohel. So your schach is good, but it's not ten tefachim high. So tfanos, there's no problem of pasul vomanasi by tfanos. So that's why this case would be okay. That's what he says. Ein zuasi aso shahare eino misakin ela hatfanos. Rashi says you only have a problem with the walls here. Ubitfanos lo amrinon tase velo mina asui. No problem. Vahari kesuka shepchusa measara. It's like a sukkah that was less than 10. Remember we had earlier in the first parak, and you dug into the ground in order to make it 10 tefachim. Now that was okay as long as it's within proximity of the walls. So, says Rashi, that is the same thing here. If you look in the Rishibo Shirim, in Rav Salvechik Sefer, he quotes a different shot. He says, if it wasn't a sukkah beforehand, how is it a sukkah now? So he quotes Rashi, that says that it's a problem with the Tfanos, and he thinks that there is another way that you could understand it also. He says, if you do an act, kishayesh tchilas asiya biyadayim, b'shir gova tefach, b'meshach zayin v'chulu, gama chatita acharkach nechsheves kechelek shel asiya rishona. You find in other areas of halacha. If you actively do something, here you did an act, you created this tefach. So even if it's a schach issue, but you can see your later asiya as a continuation as the earlier action. Tasav l'manasi means you did nothing. Here, you started it beforehand. You created that ol. Now you're just continuing. Kishayesh asiyas tefach biyadayim betchila, hofeches achatita la'asiya k'shera, bat gemar shir sukkah gova yutfachim. Where else do you see such a thing? He gives one other example. He says, the Shulchan Aruch HaSim Alam HaBeis and Arachayim. Somebody's writing a Sefer Torah. I write a perfect Sefer Torah. Right? I write a perfect letter. And then all of a sudden, after I write the letter, a blotch of ink falls on the letter. Right? It falls on the letter. That apostles it. The Shulchan Aruch says the sofer could scratch away the extra ink. Scratch away the extra ink? That's a problem of chok tochos, not chok yerechos. We know letters have to be formed actively. You can't remove the background. Let's say I put a splotch of ink, l'chadchiva, on the Torah, and then I scratch away. So that's called chok tochos. That's a problem for Hilchas Ksiva Sefer Torah. You need chok yerechos. You have to form the letters to form the background. You can't just push a recess or remove the background. So I hear you removing the extra ink. The answer is because you wrote the letter originally, says the Shulchan Aruch, Bakashrus, the Alpha Bisha Oshanasal Tchila, Chok Tochos, and now it seems to be a problem. Since you originally wrote it properly, says the Shulchan Aruch, this is a continuation of that act. It could be looked at. And therefore, it could be kosher. We're not paskening now for Hilchas Psulim and the Sefer Torah. We're just saying this is at least one example in the Shulchan Aruch, in Lamed Beis Yudches. So too here. But Rashi says otherwise. Lamai Nafkamina. Lamai Nafkamina. There is a chumra of the Hagos Haimonios, which generally we try to do. And that is, we try to build our walls before we build our schach. Generally. Most of the time, it's not a problem. Usually, you put the walls up before. According in Rashi's case, it's the opposite order. Rashi says the schach is good here. You don't have a problem with the walls. So in Rashi's case, you have your schach before your walls. So that's just a note. According to Rav Soloveitchik's explanation, so that no, you're still working on the schach, and they kind of like bon keechad. But if you say like the Hagos Haimonios that you should have to have your walls before your schach, so then that could be a nafkamina between the two different pshat. According to Rashi, you have your schach. Now you just have a problem with the walls that you're working on. Ashaikid according to the Rav Shah. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara Tanya Nami Hachi. So there's a brisa also that support that this is a limitation on the Mishnah. Hachodi begadish lasos lo sukkah, hariz a sukkah. Right? We have a brisa that says it is a good sukkah by Choti begadish. We are not zan ate a sukkah, but our Mishnah says otherwise. El ashramina, kidrafuna ashramina. It must be that's the difference between the Mishnah and the brisa. And ikadrami le mirma. And some asked it as a contradiction to start with. Tznan. Achoti begadish lasos lo sukkah ain't a sukkah. Vahatanya reza sukkah. Amrevuna lo kasha. Kam b'sheisham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. Kam b'sheisham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. Okay, it's the same in all of the cases. Related to this is a question of the Taz. The Taz. And that is, the Taz asks in Tafresh Lamed Tes, Tafresh Lamed Hey. Tafresh Lamed Hey, Sif Beis. I understand if you have the little tefach that is good enough, but the Taz says I have another problem. Tafresh Lamed Hey Siv Beis Vikasha Rabbeinu Tam. There's a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. You might have mentioned this on the Beis or Gimel in the last cycle. But Rabbeinu Tam holds that if rain cannot get into your sukkah is pasul. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. You have to have rain being able to get into the sukkah. Vikasha, according to Rabbeinu, the Shulchan Aruch does not quote that, as we'll see in a minute. Shulchan Aruch does not quote that chumrah. Rabbeinu Tam holds that way. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that says that if rain can't get in, it's no good. So what if you have the tefach on the bottom? There's no rain getting into the sukkah. Through the haystack, through this major hay. It says, Kaj Rabbeinu Tam, deposel be'ena mater yochol leireid, v'halo begadish e'ena mater yochol leireid. How does Rabbeinu Tam read our Gemara? Can't get through there. V'yesh lomar. The answer is, he says, in a chinami. The psul of rain is only a drabanan psul. The psul mishamater eino ela midrabanan shelo yehe kamin bias. Why does Rabbeinu Tam say you have your rain, your schach has to be able to let rain in? Because it shouldn't be like a house. Look at your haystack. Nobody's going to confuse the haystack with a house. And therefore, in this case, Rabbeinu Tam would not say his chumrah. That's the chiddush of the Taz. But kana v'tzulman haTorah. We're talking about a case of tzulman haTorah. Taz over Asi. V'had tekashem shish begadish chalal tefach tchila kideisa achar kach afshein about the yochalei rei nearly. The also midraban and bein matar yorid elo kishish lo dimyon labayis mashe enkin begadish to lo avi domel labayis klau al kain ein posa afilu midraban kishein matar yochalei rei kain nearly. So that's the Taz's big limitation on the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. We, if you remember, do not paskin, as I just mentioned, like Rabbeinu Tam. We paskin in Taf Reish Lamed Aleph Sif Sif Gimel. Derech hasikuch lios kal kedei sheyeira'u mimenu hakochavim hagdolim. What do we hold? The schach should be able to see large stars. Hayem u'be kimin bayis. What if it's thick? What if you can't see any stars through your schach? Some of these sukkah mats are very thick. You can't see anything. Apapi sheyeira kochavim nira mitochak sheyra. We pass him in the evidence kosher anyway. It's kosher. It's kosher, even though you can't see. And sometimes if you have no artificial light, you probably can see some things in between anyway. But that is what we paskin. Mr. Brewer quotes, Mikol Makom, Im hi me'uber kol kach, ad she'ein ha'gishamim yacholon le'reid. If rain can't get in, if the mats are there generally, if it's a serious rain, there's going to be dripping in. But let's say it's so, so thick that there's none. So then he says it's havi ke'ein bias, and lachanchila one shouldn't use it. Bidi eved, it's kosher anyway. Because again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote that chumrah of Rabbeinu Tam. But that is the different levels. Best to be able to see stars. If you can't see stars, at least the rain should come in, which is true in most cases. If the rain can't come in, it's still okay. Bidi eved, if one has that type of mat. Fine. Says the next Mishnah. Ha-Mishal Shel Defanos. Now, we're talking about walls. If somebody, Mishal Shel Defanos, if the walls do not go the entire length of the vertical length of the walls. So, what is good enough? So, Milamala Lamata, if I'm going from up to down, I'm having hanging walls from my schach down. Im gavo ben arash lo shetvachim, if there's a three tefach airspace between the bottom of the schach and the floor, psula, no good. No good, that's a psul. Milamata lamala, from the bottom to up, im gavoas or tvachim kshera. We know, as long as my wall is tenta vachai, it's kosher, even if the schach is much, much higher. Right? As long as the schach is on top of where the wall, if I would shoot the wall up, using good asik mechitzta, using that halacha Moshe B'Sinai, as long as it hits. Right? We spoke about it once before, we'll talk about it again. Am I allowed to not have it directly above? Meaning, could you use good asik and lawfood? Let's see, it's not directly up above. So the Shulchan Aruch has what to say about that. Different days, but for sure, if it's directly above the schach, that is okay. By good asik machista. The Pnei Yeshua here notes that this Gemara seems to be against this Mishnah. You have to give a little difficult according to the Ran. The Ran says that those principles of good asik and good achis are only used by Shabbos. Not used by sukkah. So according to the Ran, you have to come up to a different halachic principle. The Pnei Yeshua quotes chavot, which we also had earlier. Chavot means you can pull something up or down. Also another principle, as if the schach was below. Right? Good asik is imagining the walls going straight up, and chavot is imagining the schach being lowered down. It's a little different type of halacha l'moshe misina. Anyway, that's the Pnei Yeshua's discussion right here. Good, let's continue. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kishem Shemilamata Lamala Asara Tvachim, Kach Milamata Lamata Asara Tvachim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, even if it's high up, it's okay, as long as your wall is 10 Tvachim high, even if there's a large space underneath the schach, it is okay. I am not worried about it. So machlokas tanoim, whether it is good enough. Good. Says the Gemara, but my kamiflagi marsav. What's the machlokas tanakab and Reb Yossi? Whether you allow the hanging tefanos, as a schach tefanos above three tefachim. So machlokas marsav or mechitza tluya materes. Reb Yossi holds that a mechitza tluya, a hanging mechitza, is good enough to be matir. Well, marsav or mechitza tluya in a materes. And the other opinion says, a mechitza tluya is not matir. So that's the machlokas. Tzanan hasam. The Mishnah says, in Mesechas Erevin, as we discussed, bar shvei shnei chatzeros. Imagine if you have two houses, and in between the houses there is a source of water. A big area, a big pit of water. And there is a wall between the two chatzeros. The wall goes straight across above the water. And there is no door between the two chatzeros. That's why you can't make an Erev chatzeros here. That would be to solve the problem. Midrabbanan, you're not allowed to carry from one to another until you make an Erev chatzeros. And so too the water. I'm not allowed on a Durabana level to take from this water because the water goes from one side to another side. So what do? Right? The wall on top going straight across is not good enough. So what do? So, you have to make an extra mechitza 10 tfachim high. The next two words are taken out by Rashi, and by Tosas it seems, b'milamala, but b'milamata b'mitoch ogno. We'll translate those. What are those two? You have to make another wall within the area of the pit. Either right under the surface where it hits the air, the ground, or lower down closer to the water. But either way, you have to make an extra wall that shows as a hecker that there is a symbolic separation between the two chatzeros. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Beishamai Omer Milamala. Beishamai is the one that says Milamala. It's enough if you make it above, right next to the edge, even though it's nowhere near the water. Ubeisilo Omer Milamata. And Beisilo says, no, the opkin has to be further down next to the water. Tosfos switches the shitas because our girsa has Beishamai being Mekel and Beisilo being Machmir. So Beishamai switches the shitas because this would be on the list of the chumers and the kulas elsewhere. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo tehe mechitza gedola menakos l'shemeneyem. And Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? What, there's already a wall there. What do you need to do anything extra for? The wall that's above, that blocks the chatzeros, is enough to also be a hafsik for for the water underneath. So that's the Mishnah in Erevin. So how does that Mishnah relate to our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, we have a machlokas tanoim about a hanging defanos for a sukkah, and there for walls for the water in the chatzeros. Amra, Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, B'shitas Rabbi Yossi, Amra, the Ramechitza, Tuluya Materes. Rabbi Barbar Chana says, parallel machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Vilohi, but you don't have to say that. You could say that each shita does not hold of the other one. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Savala Rabbi Yossi, Velo Rabbi Yossi, Savala Rabbi Yehuda. Each one doesn't have to hold of the other one. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Savala Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who is Mekel by Shabbos, is not Mekel by Schach, doesn't have to be Mekel by Schach. Why? Ad Kala Kamer Rabbi Yehuda, Hasam, Ela Be'eruve Chatzeros, Dirabanan. Over there, the whole thing is a Chumra Drabanan. It's a Rishus HaYachid Daraisa. It's surrounded by walls. So that's only the Chumra Drabanan. So that's where he'll be Mako by a Mechisa Tluya. Aval Hacha, Sukkah Daraisa Lo. But here, Sukkah Daraisa. And therefore, he would not allow it. That's on the one hand. So again, the simple interpretation is just that Drabanan Daraisa. Right, Drabanan Daraisa. You might give this a little more lumdus and say there's different requirements between what's required by Sukkah and what's required by Shabbos, as we have mentioned in the past a number of times. And that is, again, actually let's do the other side first, then we'll mention it. Says the Gemara, V'lo Rabbi Yossi, Sabal Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi also does not have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Adka l'kam Rabbi Yossi, hacha, why does Rabbi Yossi be makel in our context? Ela besukkah de mitzvah saseh. Sukkah de mitzvah saseh, that we are creating a chefzah shal mitzvah. Mitzvah saseh. Aval Shabbos de iser skila? Lo. But Shabbos, we're dealing with iser skila. So therefore, that is not. So you'd only say it by a mitzvah saseh, but not by an iser de araisa, an iser of skila. Obviously, the specific context being discussed here is not skila. We're talking about iser de rabbanan. But it's in the world. It's in the world of Shabbos, as Rashi says. Aval Shabbos de iser skilahu b'malachos de oraisa machmirin afilu b'mili de rabbanan de isbehu. So Rashi starts off by saying it, but really it's a mefurish Ramban. The Ramban says it explicitly. The Ramban in Parshas Emor. I'll read it to you from the Ritva. The Ritva quotes this in Shabbos Kuf Yadalan, in the sugyas of Kinivas Yerek. In that sugya, the Ritva quotes his Grand Rebbe the Ramban, that Dvarim Shehemi Shum Shvus Prateimi Drabanan. First of all, interesting that the Isurei Drabanan of Shabbos have a special name. Special name. Shvus. Shvus, what's Shvus? And Issur Drabanan of Shabbos. You have no other Isurei Drabanans anywhere in the world of Halacha that has a special name for them. You know why? Shvus is from the word Shabbos. It's from the word Shabboson. Says the Ramban, the Isurei Drabanan of Shabbos are not just Isurei Drabanan. They help create the day of Shabbos. That's very different. There's a kiyum d'oraisa for these. Mikol makom, yeshvus klali min haTorah, she'im lokein. If you wouldn't have these Isurei Drabanan of Shabbos, ein lanu menucha b'Shabbos min haTorah. There wouldn't be menucha on Shabbos. Talk kol mekach u'memkar mutter. Right? You'd be able to, business as usual, get paid on credit, schlep things from here to there. Without the Isurei Drabanan of Shabbos, it would just be a weekday. So therefore, Chazal created the Drabanans of Shabbos, but they're not just Drabanans. They're the Chovas Gavras Drabanan, but it's a Kiyum D'oraisa. Kiyumim D'oraisa. So maybe on a deeper, Evavadai, Shvus Klali D'oraisa, U'masru HaKasav L'Chachamim, U'pratehen Midrabanan. The details of the Drabanan. That's the Rabban. The Rabban emphasizes it. If you ever saw it, Parshas Emor, on the Shabbos line, he says, the Rabbanan created a day of Shabbosom. So that's the Ramban. Again, it's an MR and it's there. So that's maybe on a deeper level. What's the of a Shabbos? It's just Gila. We're talking about the Rabbanans. The relationship between the Rabbanans of Shabbos and the Daraisas of Shabbos are much more fluid. And therefore, that's maybe what the Gemara means here on a deeper level. Interesting. Shabbos, just heard recently from someone. It's fascinating. We know the Gemara in Megillah in the first parak discusses the Septuagint and the 10 changes that the greatest rabbis made when Talmai asked them to translate the Torah. They made 10 changes. Al pi nes, they all made the same changes because they knew that it was he would be upset. So instead of saying Bereishis Bara Elokim, it says Elokim Bara Bereishis. Instead of saying Nasa Adam, Esa Adam, instead of saying Arneves, right, the rabbit is a tummy animal. That was Talmai's wife's name. So they changed that to Mar Beraglayim, I think it was. But anyway, one of the changes was Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi. Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShishi. Why? Because the Greeks, Talmai, would not be able to understand the concept of Menucha on Shabbos. Menucha on Shabbos. Vayechal, he finished on the day 6, and then he did nothing on Shabbos. No, Vayechal, what does it mean he finished? What does Chazal say? That he finished on Shabbos? He created Shabbos. That was the last creation. There's something positive about Menucha Shabbos. It's not just a cessation. It's something positive created. But that's something that somebody who is not Jewish is not able to understand what that is until you experience it. The positive nature of Shabbos. So that's why they had to change that too. But that's here that Ramban says that the Isurei Drabanan of Shabbos have an added element, and maybe that's why it's called, on a deeper level, Isurei Skila. Another idea, again, Rav Soloveitchik had two or three points on this daf. He also says it could be lumdus-wise, as we mentioned from Rav Chaim a number of times, the difference between Shabbos and Sukkah. Shabbos, you are trying to create a hekif makom. Sukkah, a surrounded area. Let's say on Shabbos, like, I don't need a structure. Sukkah is about creating a structure. Shabbos is creating a surrounded area. So it could go in different directions in terms of chumras and kulas. You might say that a hanging wall, well, it's still a surrounded area. It's just a problem with the structure. So that's why maybe it'd be machmir in Sukkah and mekel in Shabbos. On the other hand, you might say the opposite. It's a wall. So what's a hanging wall? It's still a wall, so it's a good structure. But this is not a surrounded area. You know, goats could go in underneath. Right? Gideon Bokinbo. So, in either direction, that also might be behind the chilukim that the Gemara is making here between Shabbos and Sukkot. Good. We continue. V'yim tomar. So what did we just say? We were machalik between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. Each one does not have to hold of the other one. V'yim tomar. If we're saying that Rabbi Yosef, the last part we just made, that Rabbi Yosef would not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda would not hold like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda would not hold like Rabbi Yosi. V'yim tomar, maisa shenasa b'tzipori alpiminase. We're about to quote a story that in Tzipori they relied on hanging walls. And Rabbi Yosi was the Rav of Tzipori. So if Rav Yossi doesn't hold of that kula, so which rabbi allowed that to be done? So Gemara says you're right. Lo alpi Rav Yossi. No, it wasn't during Rav Yossi's lifetime. El alpi Rav Yishmael b'Rav Yossi. It was his son that allowed it. It wasn't Rav Yossi himself. Well, my Maisa, what was the story? D'chiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Amar, pamach ha-shachu v'oibiyu Sefer Torah b'Erev Shabbos. One time they forgot, and they used to keep the Sefer Torahs in a private house. Rashi explains they didn't want the Umas Ha'ol to see the Torahs, and they used to bring it on Shabbos. So they used to, they would have usually taken care of all of the provisions of the Rishuyos before Shabbos. One time they forgot. They didn't bring it before Shabbos. They should have brought the Sefer Torah before Shabbos. Ulo Machar, what they do? Pirsu Sadidin al-Gabi Amudim. They spread out sheets on pillars. And they created, it was a place where there was no Erev Chatzeris made. So they put up walls. They view a Sefer Torah of a Karulo. And they carry the Sefer Torah in the wall. Says the Gemara, 1 minute. Pirsu Sakadaitach. Mechan Eviyah B'Shabbos. You can't bring the sheets and make the walls. You're only allowed to be mosif onto an Ohel Arai on Shabbos. You can't create an Ohel Arai on Shabbos. So Elop and an Ohel, this big Tosfos over here, comes up in other places also. Is Ohel only what's horizontal or even what's vertical? That's a discussion of Rashi and Tosfos in a few places. One of them right here. Is Ohel Arai also just a vertical wall? So, it sounds like that way from here. Maybe it's going to be a Shabbos. Or maybe not. Or maybe the Gemara here, I think Rabbi Tom says. It sounds like from here, the guards only bothered about where they brought it from. But not worried about the OL itself, because it's only vertical. It's not an OLRI. In either case, Ella, Matsu, Sadid, and Prusim Agari Amudim. No, the story was that there were sheets already hanging before Shabbos, but it was hanging. It was Tluyim. They view Sefer Torah of Karubo, and they brought a Sefer Torah, and they read from it. Period. So that's the story, that they allowed a Mechitza Tluya. So if Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of that, so how could it be? So it was really his son. Ask the Shlomo Tzion Balacha. How could he argue with his father? But his father answered it. His father died. Oh, okay. I'm gonna matter it. V'zeb emes kasha, sheshina haben min agave bim komo. V'yesh lomar, fascinating hara. Says the Shlomo Tzion Balacha. Is it really a minog? Right, if my father has a minog, so okay, I have to follow that minog. If that psak. But what if my father has a psak that only comes up once every 20 years? It's not something that ever happens so often. Is that called a minhag? If my father has a minhag of how he does, you know, birchas hachama, do I have to is that a minhag? It happens four times, five times in a person's lifetime, twice in a person's life, whatever. So, is that called a minhag? So he quotes a number of sources that a minhag has to be a davar hamatsui. Something that happens often. But if something that hardly ever happens, so my father holds that. But even if I say I'm bound by my father's minhagim, that's not a minhag. So how often did they forget to carry the Sefer Torah out? Okay, it happened. It happened this time. But it wasn't like it happened every Shabbos. So that's why he says, the Efshar, that the Matzino Kamapamim Shoy Matirim Isser Durabana Laharasha. So he says, it hardly ever happened. And therefore he says, maybe even his father would have matured in this case. Right, maybe he usually asks his Mechita Tluyas, but in this case it was a Rasha. But even if not, he says it could be, it's not called a Minhag in that case. Then he could, the Aruch Laner has a big discussion. Why did they ask a non-Jew? Was there a non-Jew? Did this prove that you can't have a non-Jew hold a Sefer Torah? It's a Bizayon. Also an interesting discussion that is had right here. Okay, we'll stop here, Be'ez Hashem. Amar Rav Chisda. We will pick up with this, Be'ez Hashem, on tomorrow's daf.